So if we have the first slide up, please. I've got quite a tough quiz question for the grown-ups. Now, does anybody know why the Plough Inn at Cadsden is quite a well-known pub? I would be impressed if you do, your knowledge of English pubs. No? Well, you haven't looked at these slides, have you, Jonathan? As far as I know, it doesn't have a celebrity chef. That's a good guess, but it's not right. Let's have the next one up, and this might be a clue. Now, kids, do you recognise either of those people? Kids? Sorry? Donald Trump is a good guess, but it's not right. No, that's close. So, who is this man on the right here? One of you youngsters knows, surely. Who?
David Cameron,
that's right, the former British Prime Minister. And here he is with grown-ups. You can help out if you like on this. Somebody said it, I think. Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, okay. So Xi Jinping recently did a state visit to the UK, or at least a visit, very posh. And he wanted to enjoy some traditional British things, so I believe he had fish and chips and a pint of beer at David Cameron's local pub near Chequers, his country residence. So there he is at the Plough Inn at Cadsden. But the Plough Inn at Cadsden also hit the headlines a little while ago because of something related to our Bible reading. Now, grown-ups, can anybody remember that interesting news story? Colette, go on. He did forget one of his children, didn't he? How embarrassing. Let's have the next one up, please. So this is David Cameron, his wife Samantha, and their family. And I think it's back in 2012, they managed to leave their 8-year-old daughter Nancy at the Plough Inn. You can imagine how it might happen, you know. David Cameron goes back in one car, maybe with all his security men, and Samantha Cameron goes back in another car with the children, and they get home, and they say, "Ah, where's Nancy?" And Dave says to Sam, "Oh, I thought she was with you." And Sam says to Dave, "No, I thought she was with you." There's panic. They ring up the pub, but she's safe there. Apparently she was helping out with the glasses and everything, and she was left there for about 15 minutes before Samantha Cameron went back and rescued her, and it made the news. Next one, please. I don't know if you've ever been lost, kids, or grown-ups, if you've ever lost your children. It can be quite scary, can't it? If you're lost for a while, you might begin to panic. Your parents might be panicking. And that's the kind of story that we have in our gospel reading today. When Jesus was 12, his parents lost him, and they were beginning to panic. Jesus was actually lost for 3 whole days, we discover, and we'll think a bit more about why in a minute. But of course, Jesus wasn't actually lost. Jesus knew where he was. He was perfectly happy. We might even say he was very at home. But it was his parents who'd misplaced him and who were rather confused and found the whole thing difficult to get their heads around. Now let's have the next one up, please. I have been going PowerPoint crazy here, and I have made my own timeline of the life of Jesus. So this is not as good as your PowerPoint, Abigail, but I am quite pleased with this. It's not perfectly to scale, but I hope it gives you an idea about what is in the gospel. So you remember that Matthew and Luke tell us different things about the birth of the Lord Jesus, and then Jesus had to go into exile in Egypt, didn't he? Do you remember why? Had to run away to Egypt because... That's right, King Herod thought that Jesus was going to be the king. He didn't like that idea because he was already a king, so he wanted to kill baby Jesus, and he sent the soldiers to Bethlehem. So God warned Joseph and Mary in a dream, and they escaped to Egypt and were kept safe there. But quite soon after, Herod the Great, as they call him, the king, died in 4 BC. Jesus was probably born about 6 BC, so we don't know quite how long Jesus was in Egypt, but at some point they returned to Joseph's hometown of Nazareth. And then in the Gospels,
quite surprisingly maybe, there is total silence between the birth and infancy of Jesus when he's little, and when he's baptized by John at the age of 30, and he begins his public ministry. And the only thing we know about Jesus from that whole time, from about the age of 2 to the age of 30, is this one incident that Luke tells us about Jesus when he was aged 12 and he went to the temple. So this, I guess, is probably quite an important striking event. But of all the things that happened in Jesus' early life, from 2 to 30, this is the one thing that the gospel writers think we need to know about. So it's obviously an interesting, important story. Let's just remind ourselves of it. Next one, please. I've lost my place in the Bible. Hope you might not have done that. Luke chapter 2. So, in verse 40, we get a little summary of Jesus' early years, where it says this. The child Jesus grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him as he grew up in Nazareth, obedient to his parents. And then if we go to the next one, every year it says his parents went up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Now, do you remember what the Passover feast is? Jono? It is something to do with the thing in Egypt, yeah. Israelites were, yes. They sacrificed a lamb, absolutely. And God saw the blood of the lamb and he passed over the Israelites. And his judgment fell on the Egyptians, but the Israelites were saved. So the Passover was a great festival of remembering God's rescue of his people. And the Old Testament law said that men had to go up to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the pilgrim festivals. But so women and children didn't actually have to go, but this time we hear that Mary and Joseph and Jesus all went. Jesus was 12, and perhaps in those days, like now, when Jewish boys were 13, they had their bar mitzvah, becoming a son of the commandment, and they became adults and responsible for keeping the law. So maybe Jesus was in training for his bar mitzvah, we don't really know, that might have been a later tradition. But anyway, they're a devout, godly, righteous family, they want to do the right thing, they go to the feast of the Passover. And they've been there for a week for the feast, remembering God's rescue of his people from Egypt. And then next one, they travel home. And it says, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled for a day. So in those days it wasn't very safe to travel, so that you'd stick together and there'd be a great big group of them walking from Jerusalem back to Nazareth, lots of Mary and Joseph's friends and relatives all together, and they just seemed to have assumed that Jesus was playing with his cousins somewhere. When they came to camp for the night, they couldn't find him. And you can imagine the panic. Oh dear. If you're doing wrong, next one please. You can imagine the panic as they begin to look for Jesus amongst their friends and relatives. Where is he? They can't find him. And next one, eventually, when they can't find him, they go back to Jerusalem. So they travelled for a day, they've got to travel back to Jerusalem for a day, and then they spend a day looking for Jesus in Jerusalem, next one. And eventually they find him in the temple courts, talking to the teachers and astonishing them by his amazing questions and answers and wisdom and insight. The remarkable knowledge that this 12-year-old boy has. He's off the scales in his stats. He probably could have done his GCSEs already, particularly in RE. Maybe he talked to them about the Passover and the temple and all that. So what do you think Mary and Joseph were thinking when they found Jesus? 3 days he's been lost. How do you think they were feeling?
Relieved.
Maybe relieved, yes. Phew, we found him. He hasn't been sold into slavery or anything. He's okay. Relief, fantastic. What else? What do you think might happen to you if you had gone missing for 3 days in the supermarket? A bit cross.
You can imagine, mum and dad might say to you, where do you think you've been?
And that is the sort of thing that they say to Jesus in verse 48. I guess he'd always been an amazingly good boy, but they find him, verse 48, thank you, Jonathan, and Mary says to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And then in verse 49, next one please, we have Jesus' very first words in the Gospel, in the whole of the Bible, the first recorded words of Jesus. So I expect these words might be important. And Jesus says to them something like, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Does this keep going wrong? Is it flickering for you? For me, it keeps disappearing. So there's obviously something going wrong here on this monitor. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Or actually, it literally says, didn't you know I must be in my father's? So we've got to like put in the word house. So about my father's stuff or things, doing my father's business. Striking thing for Jesus to say. Well, let's think about what it is that we've learnt from this passage. Next one, please. So even as a boy, as a 12-year-old, Jesus shows remarkable understanding and insight and wisdom. In fact, he's going to show the wisdom of God, because he's God come in the flesh. He's going to completely amaze everybody by his teaching and by his authority. Jesus had great understanding and wisdom. But he also had a unique relationship to God, his Father. Do you notice how he said, didn't you know I must be in my Father's? Now that would have been a very unusual thing to say in those days. Jesus taught us to pray, didn't he? Our Father in heaven. But the Jews didn't normally pray like that. Israel were God's child, God's son. They did sometimes call God Father. The king sometimes was described as God's son in the Old Testament. But it would be very unusual for someone to say, God is my Father. And Jesus had a uniquely special relationship with God. He is God the Son. God come in the flesh. He's always been with his Father in heaven. He is the Son of God. Capital letters, bold type, gold. Jesus is the Son of God with a unique relationship to his Father. And lastly, Jesus had to be about his God-given mission, and he put that first. Jesus always obeyed his parents, but above all, he'd come to do the will of his Father, a will which wasn't always popular. These teachers of the law, who were amazed by Jesus' teaching, soon they want to put Jesus to death. They'll crucify him. And Jesus has really come to die for his people on the cross, so that we might be forgiven, to put us right with God. He never did anything wrong, but we have. And so he died in our place, like that Passover lamb, like the sacrifices in the temple. Jesus, the perfect one, died for imperfect people like you and me, so that our friendship with God might be restored. That's why he's come, and he put that first. Well, let's have our last slide up, please. We read that Jesus went down to Nazareth with them, with his parents, and was obedient to them. There's a good example to you, children. Obey your parents. But Mary is a good example to us all. She treasured up all these things in her heart. There are amazing things about Jesus, aren't they? His amazing understanding, his unique relationship with God, his commitment to God's mission. And these are things which we should think about and reflect on and treasure up in our hearts. Indeed, we should come back to Luke's Gospel and to church to find out more about them. See three copies of Luke's Gospel at the back, and if you're interested in one, it'd be a great book to go away and read. Treasure up these things in your heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favour with God and men. And there's a good prayer for us and for our children, that we might grow in wisdom too, particularly about who Jesus is and why he came. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his amazing wisdom, for his unique relationship with you, for the way in which he has made you known. We thank you that Jesus was your perfect son and never did anything wrong. Thank you that he put your mission first and was obedient, even to death on the cross, so that we might be forgiven. Help us too to grow in wisdom, particularly to see who Jesus is and why he came and the great difference which he might make to us. We pray these things in his name. Amen.